Today's Shir is Masechta Chulin, Daf Yud Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yis Baruch on Daf Yud Beis. Amr Aleph, the fourth line. Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Ra Echad Sheshachat. If somebody saw somebody do an act of Shechita, and then that person who did the Shechita went on, and now the question is, I don't know this individual who did the Shechita. So what will be, how will I be allowed to eat the meat or not? So says the Gemara, Imra mitchilas v'atzayif, if I observe the Shechita for the entire duration of the Shechita, then mutar lechem b'shechita asay, then I may eat from the Shechita. V'imlav, but if I did not observe the Shechita throughout, then asa lechem b'shechita asay, the halacha will not allow me to eat from that Shechita. Ask the Gemara, hechidami, exactly what is the situation. Idi yada de gomer, says the gomer, if I know the status of this individual, and I know that this person who did the shechita knows how to shecht, and knows all the hilchos shechita lamali ra, so then I don't even have to observe the shechita altogether. The fact that this person, and I know that he's a qualified shechit, should be sufficient. Vidi la yada de gomer, If I know that this person is not qualified, if I know that this person is not qualified to do the shechita, pshita, that I can't eat the meat. So the shechita asks that even people who know the shechita, we know the halach of shechita, why should we not be concerned that he doesn't know, he's not a good shechit? Just because you know the halacha doesn't make you into a qualified shechita. So therefore they explain that the definition of the other de gomer is not limited to an individual that knows hilchos shechita. What it means is that he's a person that he knows hilchos shechita, and also is a person that we know knows how to shecht. I won't faint in the middle. That's all included in the shechita. There are others that disagree, and the others that take the approach that if the person knows hilchos shechita, and the person was not reluctant to get involved with shechita, that very much is an indication that this person can be trusted. Ella, what is must be the situation that we're referring to, says the Gemara, lo yada igamer ilo igamer. I'm not certain of what a status is. So ask the Gemara, if we're not status certain what a status is, why can't we rely? Why should we not rely on the fact that the halacha tells us that we could rely that most people who do shechita are competent to do shechita? So I saw that the Miri points out that this assumption and halacha would only be acceptable in the situation where we don't have to be concerned that the person who did the shechita is a nachri. In a place where there's a concern that the person who did the shechita is actually a nachri, so that adds a new dimension to the conversation, and therefore, under those circumstances, we would not be able to be lenient. Here we're speaking about a situation where that is not a concern, says the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to prove this concept that we just said, that Roy Mitsunai to Shechita Mumchaim. Ask from Eli Tanya, have we not learned in a Braisa? Haresha Matzatana Golas Bashuk. If somebody found a slaughtered chicken in the street, and he doesn't know who was the Shechit of that chicken, somebody tells a Shech, a Shlich of his, go Shecht on my behalf. And now the owner, the person who made this designation, comes home on Matzah Shachet and finds that this chicken is slaughtered. So we don't know who did it. We don't know what happened. The halacha tells us Chaschas Shachet. We could be lenient and assume that the person who I assigned to do the shechita did the shechita. Alma, why can we make that assumption? Because obviously the halacha is of the opinion that Rina, we say, most people do the shechita, and therefore we can be lenient. Ask the Gemara, and therefore suggest the Gemara, Hachinami, if we see somebody does an act of shechita, and we don't know all of the details, lema, we should be able to rely on the rule that Rav Metzion, it's a shechita, mumchahein. Answers the Gemara, because of that, the Gemara has to come up with a different way of understanding the halacha. And says the Gemara, la'olam diyada d'lo gomer. We're referring to a situation where we're speaking about a situation that the person that is in question, we know, does not know Hilchas Shechita. So, what Reb Nachman was come to teach us, to go into Shachar Kamon Chatz Simon Shaper. But what happened here was that he did shecht one of the two simonim, as we've been discussing. When you shecht an animal, you have to shecht two simonim. And he shechted one simon properly in front of us. And then, as Duran explains, he said that just like I did the first simon, that was the way I did the second simon. Ma'atay mida high shopper. So suggest the Gemara, since we know that he did the first simon properly, that should be perhaps an indication that hachnami shopper, that the second simon was also done properly. Kamash Malon teaches us, Rav Nachman, that we can't say that. Hi, it's Rumis Ramla, because just because we saw that the first simon was done properly doesn't prove that the second simon was done properly. Because on the second simon, as we've been discussing throughout our shiurim, we have to be concerned, Shemeshah, Shemedaris, fundamental halachas, and how a shechita has to be conducted, no pausing, going back and forth. And the fact that the first one was done properly is in no way and necessarily an indication that that was what happened with the second simon. Continues to Gemara, Bar Mnei Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Mi Rav Nachman. If somebody tells a shlich, go shecht this animal or bird on my behalf, and then he finds that that was indeed done, Mahu, what's the halacha? Amalai, chaskas shechet, we could assume that it was done properly, and you may eat the, may eat it. Another question: somebody appoints a shliach to take truma from his produce on his behalf, and then he sees that the truma was taken. How does he know? So the Rosh Yosef gives a number of examples. He knows how much there was in this barrel before, and now he sees that the amount that's missing from this barrel is actually the amount of truma that's supposed to be taken from this barrel. Or even if he didn't know, he saw the exact amount that was in the barrel, but he saw that there's produce on the side of the truma, which could be very understandably identified as truma. My, what will be the halacha? Amalei, and he responded, we can now make an assumption that the truma was taken properly. So ask the Gemara, if we want to work under a principle that we can assume that a shlich does a shlichus, so then I feel by truma, nami, even by truma, we should be lenient. And if we want to work with a principle that ein chazaka shlich as a shluchusoy, we can't just assume that if we appoint a shlich to do something, it is he who did as was requested. So then I feel a shchita namiloi. Then by the case of the shchita, we should also not be lenient. Amalei, to which Rav Nachman answered, l'chitechel akorcha demelcha. When you go eat salt, you'll be able to understand the answer to this question. So the simple pshat in this Gemara is that it was an expression how people would try to get people to stop asking questions, not ask questions that they didn't want to answer. However, that the Noida Behuda has a very interesting approach how to understand this statement. He says that the difference, many times the difference between a food that's tasty versus a food that's not tasty is the salt. And what he said to him was, without me being able to explain, without an explanation to this Gemara, It's going to be like a food without salt that really doesn't have any taste. We need the salt to give it taste. And I saw that the Sefer Dvar Yeshua explains that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, did not create the world perfect, ready to be used as is. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the world for us to make the world a better place, which is very similar, he suggests, to salting food. We have food, which is good food, but to make it really tasty, we have to salt it. And that's what he says is what the halacha many times requires. The halacha many times requires that we should add salt to it. We should make it tasty. We should make it geschmack. We should make it understandable. There's another pshat that the Ramban seems to suggest, that the Ramban says that what he was trying to say, even if you'll eat a coarse salt, which apparently a coarse salt is a significant amount of salt, they told him, even if you'll eat a coarse salt, it won't help you. You'll never be able to understand pshat in this Gemara. And the last pshat that I saw in this statement is that apparently a person that has a higher salt level, a higher sodium level in his system, is typically going to be smarter. So he said, if you'll eat a kor de milcha, you'll be smart enough to answer this question. And he says, loylam en chazaka es shlich es shluchusai. We can't automatically assume that a shlich does a shlichusai. V'shchita, when we see that this animal, this bird, was slaughtered, why may we eat it? Because inami, even if we'll have to assume that the person who I asked to do the shchita was not the one that did the shchita, inami dilma inish achrina shama v'ozol, somebody overheard me asking somebody to do the shchita and did the shchita, v'shachat, and he did the shchita, we could be lenient because we have this concept of Rai Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchehen. Most people to do Shchita are experts, and we could therefore be confident that the person who did the Shchita knew what he was doing. However, when we speak about Truma, we have to be concerned, maybe it was somebody else who wasn't my Shliach, did the taking off the Truma, and that will be a situation of Tarim Shleim Adas, where somebody took off Truma without by permission, that the halach is that Tarim Shleim Adas ain't Truma so Truma. That if somebody takes off Truma without permission, then it's what he did, even if he took it off properly, it's not halachically valid. Because the basis that somebody could take off Truma on my behalf, that Shlichus works by Truma, is based on a pasuk that says, Kein Terumu Gam Atem. A Gam comes to teach us that even our shlichim, our somebody that we designated, could take Truma on our behalf. But we learn from here that the shliach has to be equivalent to the owner. And just like if I take off Truma from my produce, so obviously it's my produce, and my produce is something that I control and I can make the decisions, so too will be the halacha by Truma. Only somebody who was so designated can do it. So the question that the Chasam Sofer asks, that why don't we say that when the Shliach does it on my behalf, we say, Zochen la'adam, Zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav. This person did something not on my behalf, but was to my benefit, and therefore it should be acceptable. And the answer to that is that even though there's a rule throughout Shas that Zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav, if somebody does something on my behalf without my designation, but it's to my benefit, it's acceptable. That is, if somebody, let's say, sees something on the floor and he picks it up for me, even though I never asked them to pick it up. So that's something that's a pure favor for me. And there we say, Zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav. But Zochen mei adam, to take something from me without my permission, that we don't say, Zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav. Although, not everybody is satisfied with that approach in this Gemara. Because indeed, of course, the rule is that we don't say Zochem Adam Shleb B'Fonav. But when do we say Zochem Adam Shleim Lefanav? When I didn't indicate that that's what I want. But here I indicated that I wanted Truma to be taken off of my produce. So since I indicated that I wanted Truma to be taken off of my produce, so maybe even though it's from my produce, it should be acceptable. So the Rashbam has a different approach to this Gemara. The Rashbam's approach to this Gemara is that, as we quoted a moment ago, the pasuk that teaches us that shlichus is effective, but there's a special condition attached to that rule, and that it only is effective if I appointed this person to be the shliach. And if I didn't appoint him to be the shliach, then it won't be effective under any circumstances. Says the Gemara, Lema, should we perhaps suggest that this concept that we've been speaking through in our shir, if roi mitzuyin eitzel shchita, is actually machloik tanoi, is maybe machloikus tanoim. The Tanya says the one we learned in the Braisa. Haresha avdol gadoi v'tar negoilov. If somebody lost animals while they were still alive, and then for halach, and he finds those animals, and he finds that they were already slaughtered. Rav Yehuda says we may not eat those, Rav Chanina ben Yosef Yosef Gli Lamata. Am Rabbi near and divrei Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says that we may not eat them is correct. Shematzin ba'ashba, when they were found in a garbage dump. The fact that they were found in a garbage dump means that they're not kosher, and that's why they were thought. That's why they were thrown in the. That's why they were thrown into the garbage dump. And divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef Yosef Glili. When will we accept his opinion? Shematzim Abayis, when they were found in the home, that's an indication that we could rely on the Shechita. The question, our Gemara speaks about a case where the animal, the bird, were slaughtered. And now the question is, can we rely on that Shechita? Can we rely on that Shechita or not? Do we say Roy Mitzuyin Shechita Mumch Mahin or not? The Tosefta discusses what will be when the animal was stolen. Why? Because Tosfos points out, if the animal was stolen, the person who stole it obviously is a person who violated the Isser of Lo Sigzel. And the question is, if we have a person who we know who stole, does that disqualify him for being a Shaychet? And Tosfos, based on this Tosefta, that says that the halacha that we just learned even applies by a stolen animal, is an indication the fact that somebody stole does not disqualify him from being a shaychet. We learned earlier in our masechta the halacha of a person who's a mumon neichel teyavin, a person neichel neveilus teyavin, a person who eats non-kosher meat. Can we trust the shechita? And the Gemara discussed that only under limited circumstance can we accept such a person can we trust that person, Shchaita? Says the Rashba, that even though, as we learned, as we just said at the beginning of the Masechta, that somebody who's a Muma Oichel Nevelis L'Teoven, we have to be most concerned that we can rely on the Shchaita, that's because he's not careful in Hilchus Kashrus. But if we have somebody who is, we're concerned about other types of Averis, just like our Gemara, that is not necessarily going to be disqualification to be a Shaychet. The Rambam does say that somebody who does any type of an Avera, for example, somebody who wears Shatnas on a regular basis, is disqualified from being a Shaychet. Ask the Prisha, so if that's the case, according to the Rambam, who says that any person who does Averis is not a person who we could trust for Shechita. So if that's the case, why does the Tosefta say that if this person is a Ganef, we could still trust the Shechita? Says the Prisha, when the Rambam says that a person who does Averis cannot be a Shechit, it's only somebody who does an Averis, repeats doing the Averis on a regular basis. But somebody who did it only one time, everybody will agree, could still be a valid shaychet. The Shach questions the Prisha and he says that, I don't understand. He says, so that means you're saying that the Sefta is referring to a situation that we know that this person only stole once. Ask the Shach, how would I don't know who stole it. So if I don't know who the Ganef is, how could I make an assumption that this Ganef who shechted the animal is a person who only stole once? So the Tzvila Tzadik takes a different approach. He says there's a difference between Mitzvah Shebein Adam L'Mokayim and Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveirei. He says, unfortunately, many people who are scrupulous in their observance of Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Mokayim, but are very different when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveirei. So he says, when the Rambam says that somebody who's a Baal Aveira is disqualified from being a Shoichet, he says the Rambam is referring to an individual who does Averis or Ben Adam L'Mokim. But somebody who does Averis that are Ben Adam L'Chaveroi won't disqualify him from being a Shoichet. If that's the case, so now we could understand the Tosefta, that even though this person is a Ganef, he's not necessarily disqualified from being a Shoichet. So the Gemara again said that if we found these animals and now we don't slaughtered, the Gemara differentiated where were they found. And the Gemara wants to suggest, my lab hakamufki, the what's the machloikus? The mars of Rav Chanina's opinion is, I mean, Rav Mitzvah Netzah Shechita Mumchum Hein. And therefore, if we found them, they're fine. Mars of Rav Mitzvah Netzah Shechita Mumchum Hein, well, we can't be lenient. To which Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, loy. We don't have to say that that's what their machloikus is about. Rather, the Kuli Alma, everybody will be of the opinion, the Rav Mitzvah Netzah Shechita Mumchum Hein, that most people, if we see an animal slaughtered, we can be lenient. And therefore, if it was found in the house, then the halacha is the Kuli Alma Pliga D'Shari. Everybody agrees that we can be lenient. Because it's in the house, and that's an indication that it's kosher meat. On the other hand, Bashbish of a shuk, if it's found in the garbage pile in the shuk, the kulamalai pligadasa, everybody will agree that we may not eat the meat. Because why was it thrown out? Ostensibly, it was thrown out because it's not kosher. Ki pligi, Bashbish of a bias. Where do we have the machalikas? When it was found in the garbage dump at home. Marsava, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Adam asr l'hatal nevasa b'ashrish b'bayis. Even though the meat is nevela, totally not able to be eaten, they still may not necessarily throw it into ashba and the garbage dump. They may throw it into the ashba. They may throw it into the ashba in the bayis. And Marsava and Rabbi Chanina's opinion is, if the meat is so non-kosher, there's no reason that you would throw it only to the Ashba Sheba Bayis. And the Mepharshim tried to understand what's the basis of the Machloikis. Because as is often the way we learn in Shas, it's difficult to attribute a Machloikis to a metzias. Do people throw it here? Do people throw it there? That's not the way the Gemara usually is to be learned. So the Chasam Sofer explains that the machloikus is as follows. Nobody really throws nevela in an ashba shebe bayis. And people throw ashba in the shuk. But there are people who do throw it in the ashba shebe bayis. There are people that are thrown into the street without an ashba. So now we have many reasons to be lenient with this animal. Number one, we have the klal that we've been working with in our shiur today. The roi mitzui netzah shechita mumchum. Most people who work with shechita mumchum, and that should be a reason that the animal is kosher. Furthermore, if it was truly an nevela, it would be in an ashpa shebishuk. And the fact that it's not in an ashpa and a shuk, so that gives us another reason to be lenient. So even though there are other reasons to be concerned, so whenever we have a halachic doubt, we have to look at which has more reasons. And that's here And that's why we could be, that's why he says we could be makel. On the other hand, we could maybe say that people don't throw things out if they're good. And therefore, the fact that it was thrown out overrides all other considerations. And since it overrides all other considerations, that's why he holds we have to be machmer. The others explain that what's the basis of this machloikis, that the Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that it's in the ashpa. So immaterial of where the ashpa is makes it treif. And the other mandama says just because it's in the ashpa doesn't mean that it's treif. Ashpa doesn't automatically assume that it's treif. There have to be other things going on here for us to be considered for us to be machmer. Says the Gemara, Amamar. So now the Gemara goes back. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda, Shematzim ba'ashpin. We follow Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, who's machmer when he found it in ashpa. And as we've been explaining, what is the definition of ashpa? Ilema ashpa shabashuk. So we don't need to say that Rebbe Yehuda says that. Everybody, didn't we just say, everybody agrees that if it's found by ashpa shabashuk, it's asur. Elolav, what must be the case that he's speaking about? Shabash shabayis. And that's where Rebbe says that even though it's in an ashpa, but it's ashpa rabayis, that's all we have to be machmer. But continues the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding Rebbe's approach to this machloikis, so let's continue. We follow the opinion of Chanina ben Noshe b'Yosef Glili, Shematzim Abayis. We follow his opinion when it was found in the house. Now let's understand what does that mean. Ilayim Abayis Mamish, if we're going to say it's referring to a situation that it's in the house, so Ha'amit Kulam Le'Pelik D'Shari, haven't we just said that everybody agrees that under those circumstances, that if it's found in the house, not in the garbage, that it's fine. Ella Pshita, how must we be defining the situation that it was found by Ashpa Shabbayis? And even though it was found in Ashpa Shabbayis, I'm going to follow the opinion of Chanina that it's mutter. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Kash the Rebbe. First, it seems the Rebbe's opinion is that if it's found in Ashpa Shabbayis, we should not be allowed to eat the meat. And then it seems that if it's found by Ashpa Shabbayis, we are allowed to eat the meat. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. This is the way to understand what Rebbe's saying. Hakama, Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Chanina ben Noshe b'Yosef Glila, Rebbe Yehuda, who says it's Asur, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion that says it's Asur, Chanina ben Noshe b'Yosef Glila will agree by Ashpa Shabashuk. Rebbe Chanina will agree that when it's an Ashpa Shabashuk, that we should not be allowed to eat the meat. And what Rebbe says, that divri Reb Chanina ba'ashpa mabayis means she'af Reb Chanina b'noish Reb Yosef Glili lo nechag lov ela ba'ashpa shabayis. Where was he lenient? If it was ashpa shabayis, abash ba'ashpa shabashuk maydalei, he agrees with Reb Yehuda that this meat is osur and venirin. And now the Gemara continues to say what is Rebbe's opinion. Rashi points out that one thing we see from here is that the machloikis is only when it was ashpa shababayis. So it's because it's in the ashpa, as we learned earlier, that causes the reason for concern. If it was in the bayis alone, there would be no reason for concern. Says the Gemara, Chos Michar Shait Lekotten, we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which is, that at the beginning of the Mishnah we said that chosh chasher to cotton shemikalklus shchitoson. We can't allow them to shecht because we have to be concerned that they're going to ruin the shchita. Says the Gemara, but let's watch the wording of the Mishnah. Shemikalkul like tani. The Mishnah doesn't say that we have to be machmer because maybe they didn't do the shchita right. Rather, the wording of the Mishnah is shemikalkulun, that they will do it. So the Mishnah is not speaking about a case, asked the Gemara, about asking Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan to do the Shechita. The Mishnah says, V'Shechitas Cheresh Shoyt Chutz Mesher V'Katan. That means, we're talking about a B'dievet situation. Amar Rava, says Rava, the fact that the Mishnah used this wording, what does the Mishnah teaches us? Ein Moisnulhem, we should not ask a Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan to Shecht, L'Chatchila. And that means, even though, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that when we have people observing the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan, there may be room for leniency. But the halacha here is, the L'Chatchila, we shouldn't rely on the Gadol observing the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan to allow that Shechita. And the Rishonim give two reasons why we have to be Machmir. One reason is because since they are likely not to do the Shechita properly, and therefore if they're not going to do the Shechita properly, we won't be allowed to eat the meat, and the meat will be non-kosher, and will be over for Baal Tashchis, the good meat will go to waste. Another explanation is that although there are, as we have been learning, times and places and reasons to be lenient with somebody observing the Shechita, but relying on somebody observing the Shechita is not a perfect solution, because that means you have to watch and you may miss something. And because of that, we don't want to rely on that even if we have somebody to observe. And in fact, Tosfos points out that we, in our Gemara, we're learning that we have to be machmer l'chatchila, not rely on somebody is observing. And Tosfos says in Halacha, there are two different concepts that are easily confused but are really not the same. One is the concept of Gadol Omer al Gabov, and there's a concept of a Cherem Ro'ein Osoi. So Tosfos says that, for example, by a get, the Halacha is we can rely on Gadol Omer al Gabov. That means if we have a Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan who know how to write a get, but the problem is the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan, if we have a Gadol Omer al Gabov, that person could teach them to do it properly. And we could rely on that. But by Shechita, we're not talking about that the Gadol is giving instruction and showing the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan how to do the Shechita. What we're speaking about in our Gemara, and going back to the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, when we speak about a Cheim Roin Oisai is not that they're giving instruction. A Cheim Roin Oisai means that they're observing. And since they're observing, we have to be much more concerned when they're observing that they might, as we just said a minute ago, that maybe they didn't catch everything. Another approach to this is that sometimes when you need kavana, so you could combine the kavana of one person with the maisa of another person. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yoina, in any place in halacha where shliach is capable of doing something, so the shliach is writing, the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan are writing the get, the gadol has the kavana, and since this is something that could be done by a shliach, the halacha is you could combine the kavana of one and the maisa with somebody else. Whereas, in a place where shlichus is not possible, so the good examples, one would be yibum, for example. Yibum cannot be done by a shliach, it has to be done by the brother. Or shchita, it's not an act of shlichus that I ask you to shecht. You're doing the shechita, you're the shechit. By something where the person who the Cheresh Shoyt V'Katan in our Gemara is doing it, there we cannot combine the kavona of the gadol with the maisa of the katan. The Shayas and Shuvas Yonig Yontif says a little different. He says, where the kavana and the maisa can easily be divided. The kavana is there's a kavana that this woman should be divorced. And the get is a piece of paper that's written. And where there's, when they can be divided, so there we can have Gadol Omer al Gabov. But when the shechita, the person has to do the shechita, he's the one that has to be doing it properly. So he can't say, well, somebody else will have the kavana. And therefore, since we can't separate the kavana from the maisa, there we can't just rely l'chatchila on somebody observing them on the concept of oimel al gabav. So we learned in the Mishnah, kun sheshach v'chein ro'in ha'isam, but if they did do the shechita when they were observed, shechitasa k'sheira. But the question, of course, is, as we just discussed, just because somebody's observing what happened here does not mean that they have kavana. Says the Gemara Man Tana, so obviously the Tana of our Mishnah is of the opinion, the loy being kavana l'shechita, that you don't have to have kavana to do shechita. Who is that Tana? Amar Rava, Rav Nosson, he represents the opinion of Rav Nosson. The Tana, Oishia Ze'ira Demin Chavraya, Oishia Ze'ira Demin Chavraya, the different pshatim, what is the definition of Ze'ira Demin Chavraya? Some say that he was the youngest, Ze'ira Demin Chavraya, he was the youngest in the yeshiva. That's the way Rashi explains. The Ran explains, Ze'ira, the Min Chavraya, Zira came from the city of Chavraya. And says the Gemara, Zira the Min Chavraya, how do we know if somebody Zorik Sakin? If somebody threw a knife, that it should go into the wall, and the Holch V'Shaka Darkon, as it's traveling towards the wall, it slaughtered an animal. So we see that even though the Shechita was done without any Kavana, it's still a valid shechita. Says Mahutan of Ahamala, and says Abraisha Zira said, he taught us this Braisa, and he taught us for Allah Krab Nasim. Ask the Gemara, but there's another concern here. Vabinan, Halach of Amevi. We've been learning that one of the halachas of shechita is that the act of cutting has to be a back and forth motion. Here there was only one motion. As the knife was traveling, it cut the animal's neck, but it didn't go back. So how could that be considered a valid shechita? Answers the Gemara, Shaholcha Ubar Kedarka. What happened here was that the knife hit the wall and then ricocheted back. And since the knife went back and forth, that's going to be a valid shechita. There are many Mefarshim that give a different explanation. They say that what happened here was that when is there halacha that you have to have halacha vayvah? The halacha that you have to have halacha kavah is only said when the knife is not a very long knife. But in a case where the knife is a long knife, the halacha is even one motion would be considered a valid shechita. And therefore, that could have been the case of the Gemara, that the knife was a very long knife. The Prima Gadim makes a point. He says, we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara today discussed that the halacha is v'kulin sheshachtu, that v'recher shayt v'katan, we learned, that v'kulin sheshachtu v'cheim roinai say shchitason ksheira. Says the Prima Gadim that even though the Mishnah and the Gemara uses the word acherim, it doesn't mean to be, doesn't require two. But even one person observing would be satisfactory. The Darkei Tshuva in Yerideya Siman Aleph Sif Katan Kuf Chav Gimel brings from the Sefer Revid Hazov that l'chatchila you should have at least two people observing. So, but then there's an interesting Tveras Yisrael. The Tveras Yisrael suggests not only, he says, is it not necessary to have two people observing, but he says it might be something that's not something we want to encourage. And he explains why. He says, when we have one person observing, and that one person who's observing knows that we are relying on him, so he's going to make sure that the shechita is being done properly. However, he suggests that when we have two people observing, so what's going to happen is that each one of them is relying on the other individual. And that might be worse than having just one. And therefore, he wants to suggest not only is one enough, like the Prima Gadim says, but it might be that it's better to just have one versus having two.